And today we are talking about two different spiritual gifts. We've been in this series for, I don't know, 3-4 weeks now. And this will be the third week where we're talking specifically about gifts and kind of isolating them out. Today we're going to talk about leadership and administration, but I want to kind of help us understand why this is the series we're in to begin with. In the midst of all the stuff that's going on, what is it about the spiritual gifts that makes this relevant for us? And the first thing is knowing where we just came from. So just before COVID happened, we started a series on the book of Acts, and then for the next 5 weeks, 4 weeks, we were doing Acts. And in that book, if you'll remember, that's where these spiritual gifts start to really just explode. And it happens after Pentecost, which is the time in Acts 2 where the Holy Spirit sort of descends on the people and it just changes the way everything is played out. So what we see is that in the book of Acts, this church, this group of little Christians ought to be under all this, I mean, it is under all this pressure. It should start to crumble. It should break. And the religious institutions are trying to crush it, and it doesn't work. The more they try to squash this movement of the Christians the more power it gets. And the more power it gets, the more people start to receive these spiritual gifts. And the more people that start to receive these spiritual gifts by giving themselves to Jesus, the more potency this church has. And so this is what we see happening in the book of Acts. And I want to kind of say this, that we live in a similar time, not where people are necessarily trying to crush the church, but we live in a time of, it's just tumultuous, right? It's unpredicted. We just had a conversation earlier today, me and a couple leaders from Northgate and some other churches in town, just saying, what's it going to look like? Like, whenever we get to come back, what's it going to look like? Because if you're expecting it to just be the same, it's just not. Like, we've been at this too long to just, like, it's not just hitting pause and then come back and have everything look the same. And most church leaders believe that that's the case. We're going to have to look different. And so when we try to understand how these spiritual gifts play a role in the future of the church, I think we have to keep that in mind, right? Like, the thing that God is interested in is that his churches help Jesus be made famous and that his hurting people find help and relief. And it's going to look different now. It just has to. So these spiritual gifts, the thing that's going to help the church flow and the thing that's going to give the church potency in this new post-COVID era is the exercising of these gifts. And if we all continue to just be unclear of what our gifts are or how to use them, we're going to be doing a disservice to the promotion of the kingdom, and we're not going to be building up the body the way I believe God would have us do it. So it's important that we have these spiritual gifts in mind, that we have clarity of what ours are, and that we are willing to live them out well in this new context. So as we've said before, the spiritual gifts definition, which you're not going to be able to see, I may attach the slides later. This is the special ability given by the Holy Spirit intentionally to us to build up the kingdom, or to expand the kingdom and build up the body of Christ. And so all of these gifts that we have, that we've been talking about, this is the role. And I think that that, again, is what's going to have to happen as we look forward to the post-COVID season of Christendom in America and around the globe. So the two gifts that we want to talk about today, and the third one is going to be on Thursday, but it's deeply related to the two that we're covering today, I think is this. The two today are leadership and administration. Now, some folks would say that this is the same gift, and some folks would say, no, my gosh, they're so different. And as you've heard me say a bunch of times, I don't care. Like, whatever. It's the same. It's not. We have a list of 30. We have a list of 12. Those are the nuanced differences that I personally don't care about. You are welcome to care, and deeply so. But for me, I'm going to say they're close enough that we can cover them today. And I'm actually going to say that what we're talking about Thursday, this idea of pastoring and shepherding, is also intimately related, but we'll save that for then. So today, leadership and administration, and the first one is leadership. And the slide that I have is a picture of a pilot, an airline pilot. And the reason I use that word is in the Greek word for leadership has that connotation. It's the person who can plot the course for the ship and choose the path and make sure that it is consistent, that you stay on that target. And the other thing I like about the airline pilot is you've heard me talk about this in the past, where you're sitting at like 30,000 feet and you can see everything that's going on, right? You have the big picture in mind, the 30,000-foot view. You you see all the things in the city, the places that there's blight and that there's health and that there's hurting and that there's success. And the person at that 30,000 foot view, if that is the analogy that we're using for leadership, that's what leaders do, is they can kind of see all of the things, and they kind of see how it all glues together. When we talk about the spiritual gift of leadership, the way I'm defining it is, it is a God-given ability to set goals in accordance with God's purpose for the future and to communicate those goals to others in such a way that they can voluntarily and harmoniously work together to accomplish those goals for God's glory. That's a lot of words and not a whole lot to unpack, but let me just unpack a little bit. God-given ability, as all of these are, but it's really this ability to see the future and to understand purpose specifically for a specific community. But more than that, you have to be able to communicate what that is, what those goals are, right? You have to communicate that to other people. So when you think of leadership, we often talk about vision casting. We don't talk a lot about vision catching, right? But there's the leader is good at vision catching and casting. They are able to communicate whatever that vision for this preferred future that God has given them. They're able to kind of capture that, put it in a little box, and make it presentable and consumable for those who are in their charge. It's like when an airline pilot hits turbulence, you know, for whatever reason, they always get on and say, "We're hitting turbulence," which I was thinking, like, yeah, I know. Thanks. But they want to, like, make sure that they're proactive, and they say, "Hey, we're going to hit some rough waters or some rough patches. Just hang on tight," right? They're able to predict those things. They see those things. They own those things. And they try to keep us on course. This is the communication element. And then the second part is they do it in such a way that those who are in their charge will voluntarily and harmoniously work together to accomplish that goal. So it is important that we recognize that those who have the gift of leadership, it's not about dominance, right? If you are a dictator, that's not leadership. That's like somehow you've gotten authority, but that's not leading. You're not drawing people into anything. You're like whipping them or cracking them over the head. That's not what we're talking about. It's not just about flexing your own muscles and your own intellect or to even accomplish your own goals. It's about leading people, directing them, motivating them towards a common end. And so the passage that we have to look at this comes from Mark 10, and Jesus gives this little parable. I'm sorry, the next one's a little parable. He says this in verse 42 of chapter 10. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be the slave of all." And so what you see here is Jesus telling people, we're not going to be the same as everybody else. We're not going to just demand things from people. We want to encourage harmonious pursuit, voluntary pursuit of the gifts or of the direction, the vision that God has given me as a leader for my people. We want you to opt in, right? And this is why we don't demand people serve in the church. We want you to want to serve, right? My wife made the joke last night of wanting to want to do the dishes, right? We want you to want to serve. That's the role of the leader. And if leaders do well, folks will experience that desire on their own. And then it's a self-motivated thing, not something that's manipulative. Leaders have a tendency to be able to really take advantage, like the maximum advantage of the strengths of those people who are in their membership, right? And not take advantage in a manipulative way, but in a way that's like, no, I see these gifts in you and I want to release you into those things. And that's kind of the language that leaders use. No, you've got more to offer. Please offer that thing. You're going to come alive. Those types of things. There's a tendency to be able to organize with ease for leaders. And now I will make this sort of spectrum I want to lay out. I think that those three things that we talked about, administration, leadership, and pastoring and shepherding, I think they all are on this sort of continuum of leadership. And I think they all have the ability to organize things, but I think they organize different things. I think that administrators, and we'll talk about them in a second, they are task-focused. They really want to organize tasks and make sure that everything is linear. I think that folks with the gift of leadership, they're good at organizing things and systems. They can put up structures. They're not necessarily as interested in one-to-one sort of leadership. And I think that the pastor shepherd, which again, we'll talk about Thursday, those are people who really want to lead an individual. They are so people-centered, so like centered and focused on individuals, that those are the things that they're just great at organizing. Leaders, those with the gift of leadership, just dislike dysfunction, right? These are the people who walk into the church and see broken systems and are like, can I fix that? Like, that's just not right. Can I have the responsibility of making that better? Dysfunction drives leaders crazy. They enjoy inventing methods and structures, organizations, things that will help support. They think in terms of how to help other people reach their goals. Again, in systems, they tend to want to help other people be more efficient. They tend to be willing to assume responsibility. These aren't people that you generally have to like twist their arm. If you are willing to give them authority, generally they're like, yes. And I don't think it's not necessarily ego or anything. It's that they know that they're capable of doing these things and they want to see things done better. These are people who take charge. There are people who are in leadership positions, like they are manager of whatever. And then there are people who have the gift of leadership. And it's not that those can't coexist, but don't confuse the fact that somebody has a positional authority with actual, like, the gift of leadership. Those with the gift of leadership seek out opportunities to lead and direct folks. They have a passion for it. They tend to be visionary. They're able to motivate other people. So ask yourself those kinds of questions. Do you enjoy leading or are you terrified of it? Do you consider yourself a vision catcher or caster? Are you able to motivate people in a certain direction? If you are, and you do, it's very likely that you have that gift of leadership. The second gift that we want to talk about is the gift of administration. Again, intimately linked. Some would say the same. I would say it's at least different enough to cover in the same message as leadership. But here's how we would define administration. It's a special ability God gives to understand clearly and immediate and long-range goals for a particular unit of the body to devise and execute effective plans for accomplishing goals. Again, a lot of words. Let me just unpack a few. I like this example of, you know, like police officers. There are always the police officers who are like on the ground, like they're 6 feet tall and they're walking around and they're like in the crowd and they can see a little bit because they're looking. But if you put a police officer on a horseback, now they can kind of see the whole crowd and they can tell what's going on and who's causing trouble at the festival and who's being a jerk. Like they kind of have a little bit higher view. They can see what's going on. This is what an administrator does, right? I would say that the police officer in the helicopter is the leader, right? Like he sees the whole picture and he knows what's going on. The administrator has his or her eyes just a little bit above where everything else is, so they can see these long-term goals and they can kind of start to like make things happen in accordance with that to try to accomplish those things. These tend to be task-oriented people. They are more task-oriented than people-oriented. Doesn't mean they don't like people. They tend to see the details. They think in linear terms. The passage that we would, you'll see later, Luke 14, 28 to 30, this is that little mini parable that Jesus gives. He says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and aren't able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, this person began to build it and wasn't able to finish it. So the administrative person is the one who's like, okay, so you want to build a tower. They pull out their checkbook or they look at their online bill statement. They know how much money you have. But even more than that, they'll say, okay, if we're going to build a tower, we have to have a strong foundation. And here's the guy who I think we should have build the foundation because he's done great work before and he has great references. I looked at him on Yelp. And then the next step is we got to lay that subfloor and we got to start building up some frames. Who's a good frame? And they're going to start looking at all those pieces. The leader is the guy who's going to be like, you know what? We should build a tower. Won't it be awesome if we have a tower? And in this tower, we're going to play board games and have festivals. We're going to do all these different things, right? That's the leadership person, the person who catches the vision, can cast the vision, but the administrative person is the one who's going to say, great idea, Miles. Let's see if it's possible, right? And this is why I love those people in my life because I can do a little of that, but it does not give me life, and it kind of is a buzzkill for me because I just want to live in the 30,000-foot view. I don't want to think of things as being not possible, but I need other people in my life who can say, nope, Miles, that's just, you can't do that. And I need them to tell me why, and then I will probably still try to do it with some other avenues. But this is the difference between leadership and administration. Administrative people, I think, are really, really good at sustaining things. They're good at managing projects. You tell them, this is where we are, this is where I want us to be, and they can kind of connect all the dots. They can say, well, here are the next 11 steps. As a leader, I think I have the gift of leadership. One of the things that I'm good at is saying, here's where I want to be. Here, I think, is the next step. And then, man, I love to just turn people loose and, like, let them do the thing because I know that they're going to have more discernment and clarity and ability to see all of the steps than me. I can usually see one, two ahead. So here's the thing. When we look at these two gifts, again, I want you to understand that they are both part of what I'm going to just lump together as leadership gifts. And I want to say again, on Thursday, we're going to cover the gift of pastoring and shepherding. Again, some people think those are very different. Some are going to lump them together. You'll just have to come back Thursday and see what I decide to do with them. But I think, in short, the folks who have the gift of administration tend to be kind of task-focused. They are detail-oriented. These are people who I would say, like, Old Testament Joe, being able to work through the entire process to respond to Egypt's famine. I think Nehemiah and James and Peter, these are guys who kind of have a little bit more of that sort of administrative element. And I think when you look at, in the Old Testament, you look at Moses. I think Old Testament Joe kind of has his hands in both pots. But Moses and Noah and David, Paul, these are all people who I think have kind of the larger leadership gift. They kind of see the big picture of what needs to happen, but maybe aren't as meticulous about the details as people like Nehemiah, Joseph, and those sorts of folks. The last slide that you would have seen if that had worked today is a list of those. Remember, I generated that list of 30 spiritual gifts, and I said, you may not like that number. I don't love that number. It's a number. What I would say is we're about halfway through those gifts. Now, we're not going to cover all of them. You'll see if you look at the slides afterwards, there are some that are in, like, lighter gray. Those are the ones we've covered already, and you'll see some that are in super light gray. Those are probably ones that we just won't get to based on time. The final thing is, as we've been saying throughout this entire series, the questions that we want you to be asking yourselves as you process this, they're just consistent. Do you have these gifts? Do you think that these are gifts that God has, that the Holy Spirit has put in you to accomplish something about encouraging his people and expanding his kingdom? If you don't, who do you think does? And even in our conversations last night, we had several people that we talked about these exact questions. Where do you see these gifts in the people that are on this call? And I think that's super encouraging. And I think that if you have these gifts especially, you'll say, yeah, it's great for other people to say, yep, Miles, you have that gift, or yep, Tito, you have that gift, because when we hear other people who see the evidence and the fruit of what it is we're doing, that just is going to be encouraging, because it reminds us that the things that we're doing, that we're spending our time on, matter to the kingdom and matter to those who are in our community. And that's it for today. Come back on Thursday, and we will talk with Pastor Shepherd. Love you, and be blessed.